up with a joke. Why didn't anyone want to fight Goliath? It seemed like a giant ordeal. Okay, going the second mile. Okay. In the first century, Romans could force the Jews to carry their goods for 1 mile, known as the law of impressment. After the Jews carried the Roman soldiers' goods for 1 mile, you'd say, that's it, I'm done. And the Romans would have to grab them to somebody else to carry for the next mile. We have an example of this with Jesus on his way to his crucifixion. This is in Luke 23, verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. So here we go. Simon's going to carry this after Jesus carried it for 1 mile. It's from this law of impressment that Jesus taught how Christians should be willing to go a second mile. Starting in Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Notice Jesus gives us 3 different examples, which teach Christians to go beyond the first mile, or the first step, and to continue on to the second mile, or the second step. Example 1. Jesus tells us not to resist or oppose an evil person, and he gives the example. He says, if they strike you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one as well. Most people would not tolerate such behavior, they would retaliate. But Jesus is telling us not to retaliate, don't get revenge. Instead, turn your other cheek to them as well. Example 2. If someone sues you and takes your tunic or takes your money, then give them your cloak as well. The giving of your cloak would be the second mile. Again, this has in mind not resisting an evil person. Number 3. Jesus plainly states, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with him too. In all 3 of these examples, Jesus is teaching you and I that we are to go beyond the first mile, or the first step. So this morning, we are going to be examining several principles in which we are to go the second mile. Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here we see our first mile in Bible study. Paul wants Timothy to study God's word so that he can know what it says and to be able to use that knowledge to combat false doctrine. Everyone should be studying God's word to learn more about him and to make sure that we are living our lives in an acceptable manner before God. Unfortunately, there are many Christians today who don't even go this first mile in Bible study. There are so many churches out there slowly moving away from the true word of God. They're starting to focus their worship to God based on how they feel and what they think will draw more people. You can sit through a whole service, you might hear 1 or 2 verses from the Bible. And as we learned from our class this morning, from Hebrews and 1 Corinthians, you have to have spirit and truth, not just spirit. I give a real life example with this. I played travel hockey growing up, and so my dad and I would be on the road just about every weekend, so we've been to many different churches. And he might remember this story. We went to one, it's at Church of Christ, so you're like, we'll give it a shot. We lasted like maybe 10 minutes as we were sitting there. It must have been around Christmas time because there must have been a nativity play. So we got up. As we walked out, we could see the wise men in their costumes just sitting in the entryway waiting for their turn. So that it was just a whole show, all spirit, no truth. Which is really sad, because when they move away from the truth and just do their spirit and what they think is right, then they have really lost the meaning of godly worship. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. This is the second mile, getting off the spiritual milk and growing to need spiritual solid food. There's a great danger in not growing in your knowledge of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not only did Paul want Timothy to study the Word of God, he wanted him to teach it as well and commit it to other faithful people who would in turn teach others. This would include him teaching them by word and by example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. This is what we are to do as Christians today. Don't just study God's word. We need to live it by good examples and by teaching it when we have the opportunity. Worship. Let's look at the first mile. Acts 20, verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Every Christian should meet on the first day of the week to worship God. We should not see this as something that we have to do, but something that we can do. There are some who do not embrace this first mile of worship and will only show up once a month or a few times a year. People who attend sporadically like this simply do not have their priorities straight. They only come when they feel the need for a little religion or they want to see some old friends. This was a problem in the first century church as well. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When Christians decide to neglect the church, which Jesus purchased with his own blood, we miss out on many wonderful opportunities to worship God and to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We also miss the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper and give from our means, as the Word of God commands us to do. We must strive to do these things for the first mile of worship if we're even going to come close to the second mile, which is found in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Not only are we to assemble with the saints on the first day of the week, but we are to challenge ourselves to put God's kingdom first in every aspect of our life. This would include making it to Bible class so we can learn more about God's word and how he would want us to worship him in spirit and in truth. This means that we would do our best to be involved with the church and spread the good news to those who are around us. Paul speaks of some Christians who went that second mile. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Notice they gave beyond their ability. You see, God does not want Christians to be satisfied with just going part of the way, but he wants us to go all the way and give our best, just as God gives us his best. Sin. The first mile of sin is found in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every Christian should rejoice in the fact that God loved us enough that he has provided a way that we can have our sins forgiven. God knows that we are going to fall short of his glory from time to time. But thanks to the wonderful grace that he offers us through his son's death on that cross, that once we become a Christian, if we want to be forgiven of our sins, we simply repent and confess them to God, and our sins will be forgiven and forgotten. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. While this is a wonderful blessing that every Christian has access to, some fail to embrace the grace of God. It's like they are too prideful to humble themselves. Others may fail to repent and confess their sins because they're not even ready to give up their sin. We need to realize that that is a dangerous game to play, because sin separates us from God and brings about spiritual death. The second mile that Christians should work towards is found in Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Paul is saying that you and I should forsake sin. The more we grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord, the less we are going to sin. It's easy for Christians to get the mindset that they can just sin every single day without trying to resist the sin. You might say, well, I'll just confess my sins and I'll be forgiven. So there's never really no need for me to resist my temptations when it's so easy to be forgiven. It's a dangerous mindset to have, and it's not what the Bible teaches. Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? If you are not fighting against your temptations every day, you are allowing sin to be your master, and it will lead to a spiritual death, as Jesus has said in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. As Christians, we need to have the attitude that David did in Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. They shall not cling to me. Forgiveness. The first step in the mile of forgiveness is found in Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. If a person does you wrong, but they repent, and they ask for your forgiveness, you must forgive them, and do your best to forget the thing they did to you. From a human perspective, it's a very difficult thing to do. But notice that Jesus says, if someone sins against you seven times in one day, and every time comes to us and repents, we still forgive them. God is not asking us to do something that he is not willing to do. Think about it. You and I are sinners, and we deserve the wrath of God. But God loves us, and because of his wonderful grace, he has provided a way for us to have our sins removed. Once we have obeyed the gospel call and have been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, all we have to do to obtain forgiveness is to repent, confess to God of our sins, and they will be forgiven no matter how many times we sin. That brings us to the second mile of forgiveness, which is found in Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. You see, just as God is willing to forgive us over and over again, we are to follow his example and forgive those who sin against us and repent over and over again. There is no limit on how many times we are to forgive someone, and Jesus makes it very clear the importance of forgiving others in Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Love. Our first mile comes from Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now this is something that's easy for just about anybody to do it. It's easy to love your friend or your family and to hate your enemy. Even non-Christians do this. But let's continue reading and see what the second mile is. Starting in verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Here we have another example of how Christians are different than the world, how they are to go above and beyond what most people would be willing to do. It's easy to love your friends and family, but you are also supposed to love your enemies. This is another one of those concepts that is difficult for some Christians to embrace. But if we are going to be pleasing to God, we need to try and love our enemies. God, again, is not asking us to do something that he's not willing to do. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and the rain on the just and the unjust. We have all been the enemy of God at some point in our life. We have all sinned, and sin makes you the enemy of God. Just as God loves us, we are to reach out and love our enemy. So we've looked at several points this morning and examined how, as Christians, we must strive to not only go our first mile in Christianity, but also go the second mile. God has left us many examples of how he went out of his way to help us out of our debt of sin. We should follow his example and always look for ways that we can help those around us to glorify God. So this morning, if there are those that need the help going the first or second mile, please come forward as we stand and sing.